A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. And honestly, it's one of those questions where the answer seems obvious until you actually look at the microbiology. Two things he's asking. How often should you genuinely deep clean a reusable water bottle, not just rinse it and call it a day? And second, can you use dissolved denture cleaning tablets a couple of times a week as a substitute if you can't find those specialized water bottle sanitizing tablets? And the honest answer to that second one is going to make a lot of ultralight hikers feel very vindicated.
It really will. And look, let's start with the number that should make everyone pause and stare at their bottle. There was a study in 2022 by treadmillreviews.net, not a peer-reviewed journal, but they did legitimate swab testing, and they found reusable water bottles averaged 313,499 colony, forming units per square inch. A toilet seat, same study, came in at 172 CFU per square inch. Your water bottle, the thing you press against your mouth multiple times a day, can be literally 1,800 times dirtier than a toilet seat. That's not hyperbole. That's swab data.
Of course it is. Because a toilet seat gets cleaned with actual disinfectant, and a water bottle gets a 2-second rinse under lukewarm tap water while you're already thinking about your next meeting.
And summer 2026 is projected to be the hottest on record in the Northern Hemisphere, which means bottles are being refilled more often, sitting in warm cars, warm gym bags, warm office desks, and warm plus wet plus nutrient input from your mouth equals a bacterial amusement park.
The bacterial Disneyland, except instead of overpriced churros, it's just your own backwash colonizing into a biofilm mat.
That's the word we need to sit with, biofilm. Because most people think bacteria float around as individual cells, like little submarines, and if you rinse the bottle, you wash the submarines away. That's wrong. Bacteria in a bottle don't stay planktonic for long. Within seconds of contacting a surface, they adhere. Within hours, they start secreting a polysaccharide matrix, a slime layer that encases the whole community. That slime layer is mechanically tough, chemically resistant, and it's the reason a rinse does almost nothing. You're washing away the free-floating cells and leaving the fortress intact.
The biofilm life cycle. Walk me through it, because I think understanding the timeline is what actually answers the how often question.
Phase 1, adhesion. Reversible at first, then irreversible. This happens in seconds to minutes. The moment your mouth touches the bottle, you're depositing bacteria and they're grabbing onto the surface. Phase 2, colonization. The bacteria start dividing, forming microcolonies, and they begin producing that extracellular polymeric substance, the EPS slime. This takes hours. Phase 3, maturation. The biofilm develops three-dimensional structure, channels form for nutrient flow and waste removal, and the community becomes functionally differentiated. This takes days. Phase 4, dispersal. Bits of the biofilm break off and colonize new surfaces. This is weeks, so the cleaning frequency question is really about interrupting that life cycle before phase 3 kicks in.
Where's the threshold?
There was a 2023 study in Microbiology Spectrum that tracked biofilm formation in 50 office water bottles over 30 days. By day 7, 80% of bottles had detectable biofilm. By day 14, 40% had coliform bacteria. That's fecal-associated bacteria, which means, at some point, contamination got introduced and the bottle environment was hospitable enough for it to thrive. So the window between clean bottle and biofilm problem is about a week, and the window between biofilm problem and actual fecal bacteria is about 2 weeks.
Which means, if you're cleaning your bottle once a month because it looks clean, you're basically marinating your water in a bacterial ecosystem for 3 of those 4 weeks.
Here's the thing about just water. A lot of people think that if they only put plain water in their bottle, it doesn't get dirty. That's one of the biggest misconceptions out there. Pseudomonas aeruginosa, a known opportunistic pathogen, can thrive in distilled water. It needs almost no nutrients, and every time you drink, you're backwashing saliva into the bottle. Saliva contains proteins, sugars, epithelial cells. That's a nutrient buffet. So just water is not sterile. It's water plus whatever your mouth introduced, sitting at room temperature for hours.
That's the part that makes me want to never look at my bottle again. So let's talk about what deep clean actually means, because I think there's a spectrum here that most people collapse into one vague idea.
NSF International, which is the Public Health Standards Organization, recommends daily hot soapy washing for any bottle used with anything other than plain water. So if you put electrolyte mixes, protein powder, juice, anything with sugar or nutrients, that bottle needs hot soapy water every single day, no exceptions. For bottles used only with water, the minimum is every 2 to 3 days. And I want to emphasize that minimum is doing a lot of work there.
What does hot soapy wash actually entail? Because I think a lot of people interpret that as squirt some dish soap in, shake it around, rinse.
That's a rinse with soap, not a wash. A proper wash requires mechanical disruption, a bottle brush, scrubbing all interior surfaces with special attention to 3 critical zones. Zone 1 is the mouthpiece or spout, where your lips make direct contact and where crevices trap moisture. Zone 2 is the cap threads. Those grooves are biofilm condominiums. Zone 3 is the bottom corners of the bottle, where the sidewall meets the base, because that's where sediment settles and where brush bristles often miss. If you're not scrubbing all 3 zones, you're not cleaning the bottle.
The brush itself, how often are people replacing that? Because a bottle brush sitting in a damp kitchen environment is itself a bacterial vector.
Every 3 months, or when the bristles start to splay. A worn brush doesn't reach corners effectively, and a perpetually damp brush harbors its own biofilm. You can sanitize brushes by soaking them in a dilute bleach solution. 1 teaspoon unscented bleach per quart of water, soak for 10 minutes, rinse thoroughly, once a month.
We've got daily hot soapy wash for anything beyond plain water. Every 2 to 3 days minimum for water-only bottles. But that's just the baseline. There's a tier above that.
I think of this as a 3-tier protocol. Tier 1 is daily maintenance, rinse with hot water after use, leave the bottle uncapped and upside down to air dry completely. Moisture is the enemy. A sealed bottle stays wet for hours, and that's exactly what biofilm wants. Tier 2 is the weekly deep scrub, bottle brush, dish soap, hot water, all 3 critical zones, plus disassemble any removable seals or gaskets and clean those separately. Those silicone gaskets in the cap are notorious for developing black mold if you never take them out. Tier 3 is monthly sanitization, either boiling for stainless steel bottles or chemical sanitization for everything else.
Let's talk about boiling, because I know some people just pour boiling water into their bottle and call it done. That's not actually boiling.
Boiling means submerging the bottle in actively boiling water for a sustained period. For stainless steel, 5 minutes fully submerged in boiling water will kill vegetative bacteria, viruses, and most spores. For silicone parts like gaskets, 2 minutes is sufficient. Silicone can degrade with prolonged boiling. For plastic bottles, Triton, polypropylene, whatever, do not boil them. Heat degrades plastics, creates microcracks, and those microcracks become permanent biofilm reservoirs that you can never fully clean. For plastic, you need chemical sanitization.
What about the dishwasher? A lot of people assume the sanitize cycle handles everything.
The sanitize cycle on most dishwashers reaches about 155 degrees Fahrenheit for 10 minutes. That's effective for stainless steel bottles if, and this is the big if, the bottle geometry allows water and steam to actually reach all interior surfaces. A wide mouth stainless steel bottle on the top rack? A narrow mouth bottle? The internal temperature may never reach sanitization threshold because the opening restricts heat transfer. The 2023 study I mentioned found that narrow mouth bottles run through dishwasher sanitized cycles still had detectable biofilm in the bottom third of the bottle. Geometry matters more than people realize.
The dishwasher gives you a false sense of security with narrow mouth bottles. The water never really gets in there. The steam doesn't circulate properly, and you pull out a bottle that's clean on the outside and still hosting a bacterial community on the inside.
By the way, if your bottle has a straw or a bite valve, those are even harder to clean. Straws need a dedicated thin brush, the kind used for reusable straws, and bite valves need to be disassembled completely. If you can't disassemble a component, assume it's not getting clean.
We've established that biofilm is the real enemy, that rinsing is not cleaning, and that you need mechanical scrubbing on a weekly basis at minimum. Now let's talk about the denture tablet question, because this is where it gets interesting.
This is the part I've been waiting for. So, the ultralight hiking community, these are people who count grams in their pack weight and obsess over every piece of gear. They've been using denture cleaning tablets for trail bottle sanitization since at least 2018. A 2024 survey on the ultralight subreddit found 62% of respondents use denture tablets as their primary backcountry bottle sanitizer. This isn't a fringe thing. It's a well-established practice among people who spend weeks on end drinking from the same bottle in conditions where getting sick is dangerous.
The logic is straightforward. Denture tablets are designed to clean a porous acrylic surface that sits in a warm, moist, bacteria-rich environment, a human mouth, for hours every day. If they can sanitize dentures, the argument goes, they can sanitize a water bottle.
The chemistry backs this up. Let's break down what's actually in a standard denture tablet. The typical formulation, Efferdent, Polident, Polident store brand equivalents, contains sodium bicarbonate, citric acid, sodium perborate, and sodium carbonate peroxide. When you drop the tablet in water, the bicarbonate and citric acid react to produce carbon dioxide bubbles. That's the effervescence you see. The sodium perborate and carbonate peroxide release hydrogen peroxide and active oxygen. So you've got two mechanisms working simultaneously. The bubbling provides mechanical disruption, physically lifting debris and bacteria off surfaces, and the peroxide provides oxidative kill, destroying cell walls and denaturing proteins.
It's a 1-2 punch. The fizz scrubs, the peroxide kills.
And this is different from how chlorine-based sanitizers work. Most commercial water bottle tablets, Steramine, Aquatabs, the kind you'd buy at REI, use sodium dichloral isocyanurate or chlorine dioxide. Those work through chlorination, which is a different oxidative pathway. Chlorine is broader spectrum and faster acting in cold water, but it leaves a chlorine residual that some people taste, and it can corrode certain metals over time. Peroxide-based systems, which is what denture tablets are, leave no residual taste beyond a faint mint, and they're gentler on most materials, but they're slower in cold water and less effective against certain spores.
What does the actual efficacy data look like?
There was a 2021 study in the Journal of Hospital Infection. This is a serious, peer-reviewed infection control journal that tested denture cleaners against Escherichia coli, Staphylococcus aureus, and Candida albicans on plastic surfaces. After 15 minutes of contact time, denture tablets achieved a 4-log reduction for the bacteria, that's 99.99% kill, and a 3-log reduction for the fungus. That is comparable to chlorine-based tablets at the same contact time. For context, a 4-log reduction is the EPI standard for sanitization of food contact surfaces. So denture tablets are meeting a recognized sanitization benchmark.
The short answer is yes, they work. But there are caveats.
First, temperature matters. Peroxide degrades rapidly in hot water, so you want warm water, not boiling, not cold. Think body temperature, around 98 to 100 degrees Fahrenheit. Hot tap water is fine. Second, contact time. In warm water, 15 minutes is sufficient for bacteria, 30 minutes for fungi. In cold water, like if you're on a trail and all you have is a cold stream, you need a full 30 to 60 minutes to achieve the same log reduction. The chemical kinetics slow down significantly.
Material compatibility. This is where people can wreck their bottles.
Stainless steel is fine with denture tablets. The peroxide won't react with the chromium oxide passivation layer. Plastic, Triton, polypropylene, HDPE, is fine. Silicone gaskets are fine. What you absolutely cannot use denture tablets with is aluminum bottles. The peroxide will oxidize aluminum, causing pitting and surface degradation. And if you have an unlined aluminum bottle, which some ultralight bottles are, the oxidation can release aluminum into your water. Also, avoid using them with copper bottles or copper-infused bottles. The peroxide can react with the copper surface and degrade the antimicrobial properties you presumably bought the copper bottle for.
The unlined aluminum hiking bottle gets destroyed by the very thing you're using to clean it. That's the kind of irony that keeps me going.
There's also the residue issue. Some people report a slight minty aftertaste after using denture tablets, even after thorough rinsing. It's not harmful, the ingredients are food safe in the concentrations we're talking about, but it's noticeable. If you're sensitive to tastes, look for unflavored denture tablets, which do exist, though they're harder to find.
What about the regulatory angle? These are not approved for food contact surfaces.
Denture tablets are regulated as medical devices by the FDA A Class 1, specifically. Not as food contact surface sanitizers. Using them in a water bottle is an off-label application. That doesn't mean it's dangerous. The peroxide concentration in a dissolved tablet is about 0.5 to 1%, which is lower than the 3% hydrogen peroxide you can buy at any pharmacy and use to clean cuts. But it means the manufacturer hasn't tested for this use case and won't stand behind it. That said, the FDI is currently reviewing expanded sanitization claims for denture cleaners, and there's a real possibility that within 2 to 3 years, some denture tablet brands will have a labeled water bottle sanitization use.
The regulatory framework catching up to what people are already doing. So let's talk practical protocol. If someone wants to use denture tablets as part of their cleaning routine, what does that actually look like?
Here's the protocol. Dissolve one tablet in about 500 milliliters of warm water, that's roughly 16 ounces, or enough to fill a standard bottle. Disassemble the bottle completely, cap off, gasket removed, any straw or bite valve separated. Submerge everything in the solution. Make sure there are no air bubbles trapped inside the bottle. Tilt it to let air escape so the solution contacts every surface. Soak for 15 to 30 minutes. Then rinse thoroughly with cold water. Cold water helps remove any residual peroxide taste. Air dry completely before reassembling.
The prompt asked about doing this a couple times a week.
Twice a week with denture tablets is reasonable and effective as a sanitization supplement. But, and this is the critical point I need to emphasize, denture tablets are not a replacement for mechanical cleaning. They are a sanitization step, not a cleaning step. The effervescence provides some mechanical action, but it's not enough to disrupt established biofilm. If you have a week-old biofilm mat on the inside of your bottle, denture tablets will kill the bacteria on the surface of the biofilm, but they won't remove the slime matrix itself. That matrix then provides a perfect scaffold for new bacteria to recolonize within hours.
You still need the weekly scrub. The denture tablet is Tier 3, the monthly sanitization, bumped up to twice a week. But you never skip Tier 2.
Never skip the scrub. And I want to mention cost, because this is part of why the ultralight community adopted this. A denture tablet, Efferdent, Polident, generic store brand, costs about 10 to 15 cents per tablet. A specialized water bottle cleaning tablet, BottleBright, Steramine, similar products, costs 25 to 50 cents per tablet. So denture tablets are roughly half to a third the price. And they're available everywhere. Every pharmacy, every grocery store, every convenience store. You don't need to go to an outdoor retailer or order online. For someone in a place where specialized bottle tablets aren't available, which is part of what the prompt is asking, denture tablets are a widely accessible alternative.
That's a meaningful difference if you're doing this twice a week. 50 cents a pop, 3 times a week, that's $6 a month. Denture tablets at 15 cents, same frequency, that's under $2. Over a year, you're saving 50 bucks. Not life-changing, but not nothing.
The chemistry is fundamentally similar enough that you're not compromising on efficacy. The kill mechanism is different, oxidation versus chlorination, but the log reduction is comparable. The main trade-off is that chlorine dioxide tablets work faster in cold water and have broader sporicidal activity, while peroxide tablets leave less taste and are gentler on materials. For most people, in most situations, the difference is negligible.
Let's talk about when you need to escalate beyond all of this. What are the signs that a bottle needs immediate deep cleaning, or possibly replacement?
1. Visible slime. If you run your finger along the inside of the bottle and it feels slippery, that's the EPS matrix, that's biofilm. 2. A musty or earthy smell, that's geosmin and other bacterial metabolites. 3. Cloudy water after rinsing, that's biofilm fragments sloughing off into the water. 4. If you've been sick, gastroenteritis, a cold, anything, assume the bottle is contaminated and sanitize it immediately, preferably by boiling if it's stainless steel, or with a bleach solution if it's plastic.
The bleach protocol.
1 teaspoon of unscented bleach per quart of water. That's about 5 milliliters per liter. Submerge everything, soak for 1 hour, rinse extremely thoroughly with cold water, then let it air dry completely until there's no chlorine smell remaining. Do not use scented bleach, do not use splash-proof bleach, do not use bleach with additives. Plain, unscented sodium hypochlorite solution only. The additives in scented or thickened bleach can leave residues that you don't want in your drinking water.
Bottle replacement. When do you retire a bottle?
Plastic bottles should be replaced every 6 to 12 months, regardless of how well you clean them. Micro-scratches accumulate over time from brushing, from ice cubes, from general wear. Those scratches are below the threshold where a brush bristle can reach, but they're plenty large enough for bacteria to colonize. Stainless steel bottles can last for years, decades really, as long as the interior surface remains intact and the passivation layer isn't compromised. If you see rust spots on a stainless steel bottle, it's done. The chromium oxide layer has failed, and the underlying steel is corroding. That creates pits where bacteria can hide, and the iron oxide itself can react with water chemistry in ways you don't want.
What about those copper-infused bottles that claim to be antimicrobial?
Copper does have genuine antimicrobial properties. It's oligodynamic, meaning metal ions disrupt bacterial cell membranes. But the effect requires direct contact time, typically hours, and it's surface-limited. If you have a biofilm growing on top of the copper surface, the copper can't reach the bacteria because they're encased in slime, so the antimicrobial claim is real but easily defeated by poor cleaning habits. And, as I mentioned, you can't use denture tablets or any oxidizing cleaner on copper. You'll tarnish the surface and potentially degrade the antimicrobial layer. For copper bottles, use mild dish soap and a soft brush only. No bleach, no peroxide, no boiling.
The copper bottle is the diva of the water bottle world. Special cleaning requirements, easily offended by common sanitizers.
The glockenspiel of personal hydration. Beautiful, delicate, and you're never quite sure if it's actually doing what it claims.
Let's circle back to something you mentioned earlier, the distinction between sanitize and sterilize. Because I think people use those interchangeably, and they're not the same thing.
They're not. Sterilization means the complete elimination of all microbial life, including spores. That requires autoclaving. Pressurized steam at 250 degrees Fahrenheit for 15 minutes, or chemical sterilants like glutaraldehyde or peracetic acid. You are never going to sterilize your water bottle at home, and you don't need to. Sanitization means reducing the microbial population to a safe level as defined by public health standards, typically a 5-log reduction, or 99.99% kill. That's what boiling, bleach, peroxide, and chlorine dioxide achieve. It's sufficient for food contact surfaces, and it's sufficient for your water bottle.
The goal is not a sterile bottle. The goal is a bottle where the bacterial load is low enough that your immune system handles whatever's left without incident.
And for healthy people, that threshold is actually quite achievable with the protocol we've laid out. The people who get into trouble are the ones who never clean their bottle at all, or who rinse it once a week and assume that's enough, or who leave it in a hot car for days and then drink from it without thinking.
The hot car scenario is worth highlighting. A bottle sitting in a car in summer can reach internal temperatures of 120 to 140 degrees Fahrenheit. That's not hot enough to sterilize. It's the opposite. It's the perfect incubation temperature for mesophilic bacteria. You're basically running a low-temperature bioreactor in your cup holder.
If that bottle has residual nutrients, a splash of sports drink, a bit of protein shake residue, you're running a bioreactor with feedstock. The bacterial doubling time at those temperatures can be as short as 20 minutes. Leave it for an afternoon, and you've gone from thousands of CFU to millions.
The car bottle is a hard no unless you're actively drinking from it and taking it with you when you leave.
Or unless it's stainless steel, completely empty, and bone dry. An empty, dry, sealed stainless steel bottle in a hot car is fine. A half-full plastic bottle is a petri dish.
Let's talk about travel scenarios, because that's where the denture tablet hack really shines. You're in a hotel room. You've been refilling your bottle from the bathroom tap. You don't have a bottle brush, and you're not going to buy one for a 3-day trip.
This is exactly where denture tablets earn their place. You can pack 5 tablets in a tiny Ziploc bag, they weigh almost nothing, take up no space, and don't trigger any TSA issues. Every other night, fill the bottle with warm water from the tap, drop in a tablet, let it fizz for 15 minutes, rinse, and leave it uncapped to dry overnight. That's not a replacement for the weekly scrub, but for a short trip, it's dramatically better than doing nothing. And for longer trips, a 2-week vacation, a month of field work, you can buy a travel bottle brush that folds into itself or collapses, pair it with denture tablets, and maintain a near-home cleaning standard.
If you're camping, where warm water isn't available,
Cold water with a denture tablet still works, but you need to extend the contact time to at least 30 minutes, preferably an hour. Or you can use chlorine dioxide tablets, AquaTabs for instance, which are designed for cold water sanitization and work in 30 minutes at near freezing temperatures. The trade-off is the chlorine taste, which some people find unpleasant. A lot of ultralight hikers carry both, chlorine dioxide for water purification and denture tablets for bottle cleaning, because the denture tablets don't leave a taste that affects your water.
That's a level of optimization I can respect from a distance.
The ultralight community's relationship with gear is basically a form of secular asceticism. Every gram is a moral choice.
All right, let's pull this together into something actionable, because I think we've covered a lot of ground and people need a protocol they can actually remember and follow.
Here's the system. Daily, rinse with hot water after use, leave uncapped and upside down to dry completely. If you used anything other than plain water, electrolytes, juice, whatever, wash with hot soapy water and a brush that same day. Weekly, full disassembly, bottle brush, dish soap, hot water, scrub all three critical zones, mouthpiece, cap threads, bottom corners. Remove and clean gaskets and seal separately. For stainless steel, boil for 5 minutes. For plastic, use a chemical sanitizer. And this is where the denture tablet comes in. Dissolve one tablet in warm water, soak for 15 to 30 minutes, rinse thoroughly with cold water, air dry.
If you want to use denture tablets more frequently, twice a week, as the prompt asked, that's fine and effective, but it does not replace the weekly scrub. The scrub is non-negotiable. The denture tablet is a sanitization booster, not a cleaning substitute.
Think of it this way. The scrub removes the biofilm matrix. The denture tablet kills the bacteria. If you only scrub, you remove most bacteria mechanically but might leave some viable cells in microscopic crevices. If you only use denture tablets, you kill the bacteria on the surface but leave the slime matrix as a recolonization scaffold. You need both for optimal hygiene.
The scrubbing and sanitizing combo meal. Like shampoo and conditioner, except instead of silky hair, you get a bottle that doesn't harbor coliform bacteria.
That's a comparison I never thought I'd hear, and I'm not sure how I feel about it.
Let's talk about material-specific guidance, because not all bottles are created equal and people need to know what they're working with.
Stainless steel is the most forgiving. It can handle boiling, bleach, denture tablets, dishwasher sanitize cycles, basically anything short of abrasive cleaners that would scratch the surface. It's non-porous, the passivation layer is self-healing in the presence of oxygen, and it doesn't retain odors or flavors. If you can only own one water bottle and you want minimal maintenance headache, get a wide-mouth stainless steel bottle. Plastic, Triton, polypropylene, HDPE, is more finicky. It can handle boiling, it can handle denture tablets, but not bleach at sanitization concentrations for extended periods, and it develops micro-scratches over time. Replace plastic bottles every 6 to 12 months. When you start seeing scratch haze on the interior, it's time. Also, plastic can retain odors. If your plastic bottle smells, even after cleaning, fill it with a 50-50 white vinegar and water solution, soak overnight, rinse thoroughly. The acetic acid helps neutralize odor compounds.
The aluminum and copper cases we've already covered. No denture tablets, no bleach, no boiling. Gentle soap and brush only.
Honestly, if you own an aluminum water bottle, consider replacing it with stainless steel. The weight savings are minimal, the durability is worse, and the cleaning restrictions are significant. There's a reason most quality reusable bottles have moved to stainless steel or Triton.
Before we wrap, let's address the future of all this. There are bottles on the market now with integrated UVC sanitization. Lark, Crazy Cap, a few others. The cap has a UVC LED that activates periodically and irradiates the interior. Does that change the calculus?
It changes it, but it doesn't eliminate the need for cleaning. UVC is effective at inactivating bacteria and viruses in the water and on surfaces that the light directly strikes. The problem is shadowing. Any surface that isn't in direct line of sight of the LED doesn't get sanitized. The cap threads, the mouthpiece crevices, the underside of a straw, those are all shadow zones. UVC also doesn't remove biofilm matrix. It kills the bacteria, but the slime remains. So UVC bottles reduce the sanitization burden, but don't eliminate the need for periodic mechanical cleaning. They're a supplement, not a solution.
The UVC bottle is the Roomba of water bottles. It handles the daily maintenance, but you still need to do a real clean periodically.
You still need to charge it, which is its own failure mode. A dead battery means zero sanitization. The best cleaning method is the one you'll actually do consistently, and a bottle brush doesn't need to be charged.
All right, let's land this. Your water bottle is almost certainly dirtier than you think. The biofilm life cycle means you have about a week before detectable biofilm forms, and about 2 weeks before you're potentially dealing with fecal-associated bacteria. The protocol is daily rinse, weekly scrub, monthly sanitize. Denture tablets are a legitimate and cost-effective sanitization option. They achieve a 4-log reduction against common pathogens, they're half the price of specialized bottle tablets, and they're available everywhere. But they don't replace the scrub. The scrub is the foundation everything else builds on.
If you're using your bottle for anything other than plain water, clean it daily. The nutrient load from sports drinks, protein shakes, juice, or electrolyte mixes turns your bottle into a growth medium within hours. That's not an exaggeration. It's microbiology.
One final thing. If your bottle has a musty smell, visible slime, or cloudy water after rinsing, or if you've been sick, escalate immediately. Boil it if you can. Bleach it if you can't boil it. And if the problem persists after sanitization, replace the bottle. Your water bottle should not have a personality.
That's the best closing line we've ever had, and I'm annoyed I didn't say it. And now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
The Ottoman Empire's Ministry of Public Administration employed a dedicated official whose sole responsibility was to ensure that all imperial decrees were written on paper with a specific acoustic property when flicked. The paper had to produce a crisp, high-pitched snap rather than a dull thud, as the snap was believed to signify the moral clarity and decisiveness of the Sultan's command.
All right.
I have so many questions, and I'm going to ignore all of them.
One open question before we go. As the FDI reviews expanded sanitization claims for denture cleaners, and as UVC bottles become more common, the landscape of bottle hygiene is shifting. But the fundamentals. Biofilm doesn't care about your gadget. Mechanical disruption is irreplaceable, and consistency beats optimization. Those aren't going anywhere. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop. This has been My Weird Prompts. Find us at myweirdprompts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore. A thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long ear host. Until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.